Greetings of peace. Welcome to The Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. And this week on The Dean Show, we're going to be talking about a fascinating story about a young man who at a young age was going to the church with his grandmother, and then he became a staunch atheist, joined the military, had this blind hatred of Islam. Now he's on The Dean Show. Let's hear what he has to say. We'll be right back.
This is The Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Ali, camarada, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, alhamdulillah.
All right. Now, when I opened the show, I talked about you formerly being in the military, white American, was a staunch atheist, then a born-again Christian. Is this pretty much how it happened?
The steps?
Yeah, throughout high school, I became an atheist and later on a Christian again before researching Islam after 9/11, yes.
Let's start from when your grandma used to take you to church. Let's start from those days.
Okay. Well, when I was a little kid, my grandma was the most religious person in the family. She used to take me to church almost every Sunday. She was Lutheran. I went to the Bible study on Wednesdays and basically spent my summers, in Christian groups and Bible studies and things like that.
So around how old were you at that time?
This was ever since I was little, as far as I can remember, until later when I got to about like middle school age or so. That's when I really didn't go to those events as much going into high school.
So how do you go from grandma taking you to the church to becoming not only an atheist, a staunch atheist, as you mentioned?
I was raised, I knew, I had a lot of knowledge of it. I went through all the motions as a kid, but at the high school age, I stopped going to church as much. And then mostly it was during like biology classes. A lot of the teachers, even though religion's not supposed to be spoken about in school, a lot of times when they're talking about stuff like evolution and whatnot, the teachers, they're authority figures for kids. So, sometimes they interject their atheist belief during the high school years. And I actually had a lot of conversations with two specific teachers, and they really convinced me of their way. So when I was maybe about 14 or 15 or so, I made a decision that, atheism is the truth, that it's based on science, and everybody else is just crazy nut jobs to believe anything else. And, I've basically made my mind up that in order to be religious, you have to turn your mind off. And from there on, I basically was very against religion for a few years.
So you totally, at that point, left religion altogether?
Yeah, I had taken maybe 1 or 2 years before becoming an atheist where I wasn't really practicing as a Christian. And then when I became an atheist, my basic outlook was that everybody who believes in religion, they must be, not able to think, or they must not know science or something along those lines.
Now, what did grandma have to say about this after you told her that you made this decision?
I didn't really have any discussions with her about that. It was my grandma, but, it was mostly something that I talked with people my own age about. I wasn't pushing that on anybody at the time. It was just something that I mostly believed strongly myself.
From there, you went on to join the military. Tell us about this.
I joined the military early. When I was 17, right after my birthday, I did the early enrollment, which means that you get to do half the training. You got to finish high school and then go back for the other half. I signed up, I got they were going to pay for the college. I had no problem with the Army. I thought it would be a good experience, good for career path, good for paying for college, obviously, and other things, but also because I felt like it was a good move responsibility-wise. And after joining the military, that's when I went to basic training when I was 17. This was all before I was Muslim.
Yeah. So, and this was, you joined the military. Was this before 9/11 or after 9/11?
This was actually the year of 9/11, but in March that year. So it was right after I turned 17, before 9/11.
So was the hostilities that we see towards Islam and Muslims, was it anywhere near where it is today back then?
I grew up in a medium-sized city in Erie, Pennsylvania, which has about 1 million people, but I never met a Muslim my whole life growing up. We don't have many international like races or anything, not many immigrants, because it's a smaller city. In the military, I mean, I can't remember the word Islam or Muslims coming up before 9/11, even in the military. It was basically a non-issue. Nobody knew about it. Nobody talked about it. It didn't come up as much in the media. And then even in basic training that first year when I was 17, I went that summer, which was just a few months before 9/11. Most of the time they were talking about communism and Russia and the history of that, and then the Vietnam War. And, you know, those are mainly the enemies they would talk about before 9/11. So Muslims never really came up.
Now, you talk about in your story that you ended up having, like most people, just this blind hate of Islam. What do you mean you just had a blind hate of Islam? What does that mean?
I came back from the basic training because I did the early entrance program. I did half of the normal 16 weeks. I did 8 weeks. I came back. I was playing football for my high school at the time. And when I returned, it was about 2 weeks before school started. And 9/11 happened about the week after that. So I just got back from basic training, maybe about 3 weeks later. You know, basic training, you spend 8 weeks with the military. You wake up in the barracks. You sleep in the barracks. You polish your boots every night. You have a half hour to write letters. The rest of the day is completely, you know, you're into the system of this military way of thinking. You have the community, like the brotherhood of the military, stuff like that. And three of my friends also had done the early entrance. So in the early entrance program, I had three friends in my same grade. Two of them were also on the football team with me. So we all came back from basic training, and 3 weeks later, 9/11 happens. And being new in the Army, we were also thinking, like, maybe we're going to get deployed because, you know, something happened. Maybe we're going to have to go Iraq or... I don't know, they weren't discussing Iraq, mostly Afghanistan back then. But after this 9/11 happened, especially being in the military, I had this feeling like us versus them, and these people attacked us. And everything on the media, of course, is going to be one way. So I was overcome mostly by the media and by the us versus them mentality. And, you know, it was basically like a fight type of attitude. And I had the blind hatred because I saw them as the enemy, and that's the way they were always made out to be.
So now you come back from the military, and how was your perception? So did it, you go from being a born-again Christian, you go from going to church with your grandmother, then you end up becoming a staunch atheist, you join the military, and somewhere in there you end up becoming a born-again Christian.
Actually, at the time that I joined the military, I was starting to question some of the atheist presumptions, you know, the assumptions they make about this is against religion, this is with religion. And I had some questions in my mind, a few doubts. When I joined the military, actually every Sunday, you have the choice. And in basic training, you can't go to, you know, I don't know if they've changed it, but you can't go to Juma or anything. Sunday is the only religious day. And in the military, you can basically stay back with the drill sergeants and clean, or you can go to the church. So even the atheists went to church during the basic training. And they mostly fell asleep in the back. But I went every Sunday for church. Some of the things that were said were a little bit inspiring at the time. I took a Bible with me and started reading it every day. And then even when I got home before 9/11, I started reading a lot. And that's the time where I got very back involved with Christianity, maybe a month before 9/11, 2 months. And I was born again at that time. I went through the process. I was born again, overcome with the Spirit of Christ, all those stuff that you just talk about. But at that time, I really became a practicing Christian again after, you know, reading about the religion and everything. And that happened after the military.
All right, let's hold off right there. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more to hear about this incredible story here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Islamic terrorism. Misconception. Muslims are terrorists. This is by far the biggest misconception of Islam, given unfairly by stereotyping and the public image that the media gives. Has anyone else noticed how when a specific group of people attack another group of people, it is labeled as a hate crime, but when a Muslim opens fire on anybody, it is quickly regarded as terrorism? Many political dictators and officials or extremist groups use the name of Islam as a strategy to garner followers and attention when many of their practices go against the true basis of Islam. The media has also portrayed Islam as a cult or a club where if you join, you become a terrorist, and that is now part of your agenda. However, all over the world, people practice Islam in the true form and use it as a way of life. There are many verses in the Quran that go against the idea of terrorism. Some of these verses include, "Fight the way of Allah, those that fight you, but do not transgress limits, for God does not love transgressors." This basically means do not fight except in self-defense, and even in doing so, do not go beyond defense. Another verse states, "If they seek peace, then you seek peace." Which means, do not attack people for no reason or kill innocent people. There is nowhere in Islam, whether it be in the Quran or the teachings of Muhammad, that promotes the killing of innocent people.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Deen Show, and we're talking to a gentleman, Ali, who went from going to church with your grandmother to becoming a staunch atheist, joining the military, and then becoming a born-again Christian. That's where we left off. Please continue from here. So you're a born-again Christian now. What happens in your life now?
Yeah, I was born-again Christian while I was in the military. And like I said, that was the first half of my training. Part of the early entrance program was I did have training, but you have to have a high school diploma or GED. So I went back to my senior year of high school. Maybe 3 weeks before 9/11 happened, I came back from the military. After 9/11 happened, you know, the normal media craze and also being in the military and seeing them as an enemy, I had the blind hatred. You know, there was, in my mind, every Muslim was an Arab. They were backwards, these Stone Age people. They blew up our buildings, you know, attacked us and everything. You know, it's the whole us versus them mentality. You know, for maybe a good 2-3 months, you know, there'd be jokes in family gatherings. You know, friends would make, you know, different jokes about Muslims. And, you know, now that you think back on it, you know, it's basically a modern day of racism. We'd never say something about black people or Hispanic people. We'd feel bad. But at that environment at the time, everybody hated Muslims. So it was kind of going with the flow. But also, I internalized as well, hating these other people that would attack us. You know, for maybe about the next 2-3 months, that's all it was, just blind hatred. I didn't know anything about Islam. I hated it, despite having no knowledge.
Talk to us about this class project that you had, that it was an easy pass if you did it, and what was it on?
Yeah, actually, being my senior year, I only needed a few credits, so I took a few of those easy classes, you know, that you don't have to do anything in. And it was a drafting class, you know, CAD and doing different stuff, and we had a project that was due after Christmas. If you make a board game, and the teacher said that if you make a board game using the drafting techniques, if it's an original idea, you get an automatic A for the class, even if you don't show up. So, you know, everybody wanted to put a little effort in it. And he said if it was a unique idea that he's never seen before, I would get an automatic A and everybody would. So being after 9/11, I decided to make a concept that I'm going to kill Osama bin Laden. You know, you roll dice, eventually you fly to Afghanistan, you land on a square, you pick up a weapon, you land on another square, you pick up something. It was like a board game. And the whole plot was to kill Osama bin Laden. I finished this before Christmas break, and it was due afterwards. So I decided to take it home with me. I was going to draw some graphics on it, you know, some extra images to make the board game good, because acing the board game meant an easy second half of the year. And actually, that's when I was going to – I looked up some pictures. I forgot what a turban looked like. And one of the squares you landed on was to light Osama bin Laden's turban on fire, and that was a way of killing him. So I wanted to look up an image and draw it on the game board as an illustration. And that's actually when I jumped on Google, started typing in turbans, and one of the first sites I came across was the IslamGuide.com, the Brief Illustrated Guide to Islam. And I remember one paragraph specifically. It may have been the first or the second, but it said that Islam believes in the prophets like Adam and Noah and Abraham and Lot and Moses and Jesus, and that blew me back, because all I ever heard is that these people believe that the more disbelievers they kill before they die, the better they're in heaven, you know, the 72 virgins and everything. So reading that they believe in the prophets was shocking to me, because I had a blind hatred but no knowledge. So once I saw that, I realized, you know, I hate these people, but I don't even really know what I'm hating. I mean, how can you truly hate something if you don't know it? And then combined with my being born again for about the last maybe 5-6 months at the time, I also asked myself, how can I truly call myself a Christian if that's the only religion I ever even knew anything about? And I was confident in Christianity. I said, you know, I'm going to know more about these Muslims because they're bad people, but I want to understand them. But also, you know, Christianity is the truth, so no matter what I read, I'm still going to be a Christian. I'm still going to reaffirm my faith. So that's when I started reading, and that was basically the first day of Christmas vacation. So I had no school for a week or two, and I just started reading basically nonstop for a week or two. And that was my first exposure to Islam. I never met a Muslim. I didn't even know they believed in the prophets. And then that was basically from zero, I started reading.
Tell us about Joseph. You mentioned a retired 20-year veteran who was in the Navy. He was also a Muslim that you hooked up with. Tell us about this experience.
Okay. Yeah, from where I left off, the part of reading, you know, basically I started reading a couple of days before Christmas or around Christmas. I ended up becoming Muslim after 1 week because I dedicate myself to reading 10, 12, even 14 hours a day from waking to sleeping. And I became Muslim after learning about it. But after that, I didn't tell anybody. I told some people online. Some of the support groups that are around now, even like Facebook, stuff like that, wasn't available back then. So I kept Islam to myself. I emailed an MSA and got an email back that, hey, there's not really an MSA. It was just two of us and we graduated. But I have a couple friends you can talk to. And he was one of the guys I ended up finding through AOL Instant Messenger. And he was working for CARE down in Washington, D.C. at the time, about a seven-hour drive away from me. And I remember mentioning to him I was military, he was military, and we both converted. And he said, so how's your Muslim community? I was like, what do you mean? I haven't met a Muslim yet. And actually, the brother, mashallah, may Allah reward him, you know, instantly he was like, what? You didn't meet a Muslim? You need to meet a Muslim. So he actually drove up 7 hours to meet me. We ate some Chinese food together, gave me a couple things. And another brother from New Jersey actually mailed me some stuff from an Islamic bookstore website. And then after meeting him, he said, hey, I got work in the morning. I go, so I only saw him for an hour. But mashallah, brother drove to see me. And that gave me a good impression of brotherhood early on, because at the time I still hadn't told any of my family and friends that I was Muslim. They actually found out about 4 months later.
You still keep in contact with Joseph?
Yeah, I see him online. Now we're in different countries and stuff, but I still contact him as much as we can. We're both kind of busy, but you know, over Facebook and chatting, I see him.
You want to give him the salams before we go to break? To Joseph, that was the first Muslim, white American,
yeah, sure,
who accepted Islam. Go ahead. this salam's for you, Joseph, if you're out there, from our brother Ali. All right, we're going to be right back with more of this wonderful story here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we left off with Joseph coming to see you, right? And then, so before that, you already had accepted. You accepted that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and the earth, the same God that Jesus worshiped, Moses, Abraham. You weren't doing anything different. You even have a beard now. I mean, this is a part of Islam, but some people tuning in, a lot of the not yet Muslims, they heard you say Osama bin Laden, and they've heard 9/11, they see you with a big beard, Muslim. I mean, that's like a formula for a disaster for some people. What do you have to say when people, you know, they have these negative perceptions of Islam due to the negative propaganda? What do you say to them?
I can bear witness myself that I was in the military. I was, you know, I didn't convert to be a terrorist or anything like that. I had a healthy hate for, you know, anybody that would kill innocent lives. After becoming Muslim, I've met plenty of ex-military, you know, actually, I have yet to meet a single terrorist, actually. You know, I've become Muslim, I'm practicing religion, I go to 10, 20, 30 different masjids since I've been Muslim, you know, too many to count. I have yet to meet a terrorist, so, you know, anybody that tries to say, oh yeah, you have thousands of terrorists, you know, there's 2 billion Muslims, so what is that, you know, like, it's like a decimal point, 5 zeros, and then a 1%, you know, it's something that definitely people perceive it to be something that's common, but it's not. You know, even the FBI said only 6% of terrorists are actually Muslim. So as much as the news hypes it up, it's not much really. I haven't met one, and Islam's never taught me to blow anything up. So
Islam's never taught you to blow anything up, but it's taught you how to live a good, righteous, wholesome life. Let's talk about that. The purity of Islam. Islam is definitely
after converting to Islam, I was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, after converting to Islam, I was a little bit afraid to tell my family, my friends. There was a lot of negative stigma. Despite the peaceful teachings, despite the good way of life and morals of Islam, there was still a stigma. You know, it was, you know, it was worse than anything else you could tell your family, hey, I became Muslim. So maybe for about 4 months, you know, I was learning the religion slowly at the time. You know, I didn't know. I remember eating some pork a couple of weeks after becoming Muslim, and a Muslim online saying, hey, what'd you do? You're not allowed to do that. So, you know, I learned over time, bit by bit. But finally, when I told my family, you know, I wasn't eating pork, and they asked why, and it came out that, hey, I'm Muslim. So, you know, there was a tough 1 or 2 months. Even my parents, you know, they said, this is just a phase. When you go back to the military this coming summer, you know, you're going to come back to normal. They thought it was, you know, like a teenager going through a phase. And then after going to the military, you know, I definitely had some run-ins with people since I declared my religion as Islam on my dog tags and everything. That was the first summer after 9/11. So there was a lot of people who voluntarily joined the army just to fight Muslims. And here I was, the only Muslim in the basic training unit. And it was definitely, you know, an experience. But, you know, people ask that all the time. Even I had a drill sergeant ask me, when we get out on the battlefield, which way is your gun going to point, you know? Are you the enemy or are you one of our actual soldiers, you know? So a lot of people had this stigma. So, I mean, the perception is that being a Muslim instantly makes you the enemy. Like I talked about before, the us versus them mentality. So in the military, even though I was wearing the uniform, even though I was, you know, standing in line next to them, some people perceived as the enemy. And, you know, like I said, this was months after 9/11, so some of it was to be expected. After getting back from the military, you know, family, friends, a lot of them cut me off. They thought, like, okay, it's not a phase. Still, again, the 9/11 stigma floating around. I ended up having to leave my home city at that time and move in with there was a Muslim brother I met through Joseph, somebody else, and I moved down to Virginia. And one of the best things I did as a new Muslim, even though that was maybe 9 months after becoming Muslim, was I moved in with a roommate, a very good Pakistani brother named Salman, and I moved from Erie, which had no Muslims basically, to Virginia, which had, you know, many masjids in the D.C. area. And one of the best things was able to go to a masjid, meet an imam, be involved in a community. So as a new Muslim, being involved in an active community was one of the things that really allowed me to start learning my religion. And that's when I started growing the beard and learning that these certain things are obligated by Allah. And I grew my religion by being part of a community and going to classes. And that was probably one of the best things I feel. Before that, you know, I did feel alone, but alhamdulillah, Allah was always with me when I went through the military and other things. But if I have one advice to, like, new Muslims, is that definitely trying to be involved in the community makes a big difference, because those 9 months alone was very hard. But as soon as you have a community with you, you know, you feel that you're no longer alone. Yes, you always have Allah, but for a new Muslim, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to understand. And sometimes having the support is very, very crucial.
We're going to talk about, I got two more points, and because we're almost out of time, we're going to talk about faith chat in a second after this last question. So what was it about Islam that had you go against all the odds, that had you finally accept it?
The main thing, really, like I said, when I first read about Islam, I was trying to reaffirm my Christian faith throughout the whole thing. I was reading just to understand the enemy, basically. But part of it, I read early Christian history. I'm thinking, like, the Muslims claim that Muhammad is a prophet that came after Jesus. They believe in Jesus. So I read the early Christian history, what happened after Jesus, how the Bible came to be, you know, 3-4 centuries later. And I actually read the story of Salman al-Farsi at one point. He was a Christian scholar from Persia, and, you know, his brother priests and stuff said that, you know, the message of Jesus is lost. There's going to be a new prophet that will come and revive it. And we know, even in the Old Testament, that when the message of a prophet would fade, a new prophet would come to revive the message. You know, it wasn't something that was illogical or anything. So the early Christian history, combined with the fact that what the Muslims were speaking and teaching, just made perfect sense. I found it to be the truth, nothing else. I didn't care about are Muslims terrorists at that point. At one point, I just felt, you know, this is the truth. And I ended up telling myself at one point that while I'm reading these articles on Islam, I'm convinced already. So when am I going to become a Muslim? You know, and for maybe one day, I was thinking, like, no, I can't be Muslim, I'm white. But, you know, eventually, it was just kind of a gradual process, reading and learning. I realized this is the truth, and then I accepted that.
Last thing I want to talk about, we have 30 seconds left. Tell us about the New Muslim Academy and also where people can hook up with you at faithchat.com.
Yeah, actually, one of my first teachers in Virginia, Yusuf Idris, he runs the New Muslim Academy. It's one of the best online resources for after the Shahada. Before the Shahada, when you're not a Muslim yet, faithchat.com, we have a live team and some articles, and we try to spread the message of Islam to those who don't know it yet, just like I did at one point.
So if anyone has any questions now, maybe that person's a blind hater, but they like what we have to say, they're really inquisitive now, they want to learn more, they can hook up with you at faithchat.com.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much for being with us, brother. It was a pleasure. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Ali, for being with us here on The Dean Show. What an incredible story. Don't forget newmuslimacademy.com. And if you want to hook up with him, faithchat.com. I get fascinated every time I hear an individual come on and share their story, because there are so many people, without a doubt, Islam is something rational, logical. And if you look into it, if you put this blind hatred, this racism, this animosity that you might have, that's really based on a false fear. But like he did, he really looked into Islam. He looked at the evidence of it. It's pure message of monotheism. It's called to do good, to live a righteous life. It doesn't call you to blow yourself up or anybody. It doesn't call you to terrorism and all these other things that are associated with it. And with all the negative propaganda, it still continues to be the fastest growing way of life in the world. Why is that? Why is that? You got to ask yourself. So you learn that, you know, once he saw the similarities, he saw that Islam, submission to the will of the Creator, not the creation, that he saw calls Muslims to believe in Moses, Abraham, Jesus, the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And you can put it all together from the beginning. That they didn't come with different religions. They all came with the same simple message, the same way of life, that you submit yourself entirely to the one who created you. You don't worship a man, a woman, a stick, a stone, a bone. No. Jesus, peace be upon him, who we love and revere, he never, it's a lie. If you've been taught that, you've been brought up to believe that he's God, a literal son of God, this is a blatant lie. He never, why is it a lie, Eddie? Because Jesus never, ever called people to worship himself. He was sent by God with a message from God calling the people to worship God. Don't make it out to be something it isn't. And don't put words in his mouth, because Jesus, peace be upon him, he was subordinate to God. He worshiped God. He prayed to God. He ate food and went to the bathroom. He wasn't God. And he wasn't a literal son of God. He was a mighty messenger of God. And if you can understand, because this is the crossroads, this is where we go to the right and other people, they end up going in a direction that's not based on any proof or evidence, just blind following. And this gentleman here who was with us, he wasn't about to do any blind following. He looked at all the evidence. He scrutinized it and he saw that Islam provided. Islam, remember, it's just an Arabic word that means submission to the will of God. And Jesus, he didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic, which is a sister language to Arabic. And he called on Allah, the Creator, God Almighty, Allah. So look, too much to mention in this short amount of time, but Islam is simply a way of life that calls you to have a relationship, a loving relationship with the one who created you, the one who made you, the one you're going to return back to. So call on the one who will never let you down. And we believe he's the most just and loving, and he wouldn't leave you without guidance if you ask. So ask the one who made you for guidance. And continue to tune into The Dean Show. This life is short. You got to figure it out. What's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of life? Why have I been created? Why am I here? Just to accumulate a lot of wealth and money, party and die? No, there's more to life. Think about it. Think about it. Follow us. Subscribe to The Dean Show. And as you can see, I get really excited talking about Islam because it makes sense. It really makes sense. And it'll make sense to you if you just look into it, put this blind hatred, animosity, where you picked up maybe through the media, Fox News, or many of these other outlets, and tune into The Dean Show every week so you can learn more and you can be enlightened. That's right. And a whole new world will open up. We'll see you next time. Inshallah. God willing. Until then, peace be with you.